Hey, it's Elliot. Before we get going, we wanted to let you know that Sportsnet's weekly NHL newsletter is coming to your inbox this season. Written and produced by Rory Boylan, our NHL editor and co-host of the Tape to Tape podcast, Sportsnet's NHL newsletter will deliver original content you can't find anywhere else, plus all the most important news, analysis, and videos of the week. Sign up now at sportsnet.ca/newsletters. That's sportsnet.ca/newsletters to get the most in-depth, exclusive hockey coverage delivered directly to your inbox.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello. 10, 9, 8, 7.
Elliot, the Stars series continues here on 31 Thoughts, the podcast brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra trucks. Today, we will hear from Cale Makar of the Colorado Avalanche. We will hear from Matt Dumba of the Minnesota Wild. Stick around for that one, by the way. Dumba is outstanding. But first, we're going to hear from Dallas Stars standout defenseman, John Klingberg. And I'm glad we had a chance to talk to him because I've talked about him countless times, as have you. When we interviewed Spezza, we talked about him. When we interviewed Tyler Seguin, we talked about him, specifically with him being the only defenseman on the NHL who's not shy about raising shots up high coming from the point. But this Dallas Stars team, as you look at it, and a lot would be made of Seguin and Ben and Radulov and Joe Pavelski comes in, etc. But so much of this Dallas Stars team, I think, is predicated on a really mobile back end, and that's all led by Klingberg.
One of the things I hate most about my current role, Jeff, is that I don't travel as much as I used to. So especially now as I've gotten older and the league has really turned over, I don't know these guys as well as I did in the past. And Klingberg was on the list. Like, every time that we get the names of the people who are going to that event, I always say, okay, know this guy, don't know this guy, curious about this guy, want to meet this guy. And Klingberg was definitely one of those guys I didn't know and wanted to meet. Good talker. Good interview.
Good talker and great sense of humor.
Yeah.
As you're about
you know,
to find
out. You
know, by
game 47, he's going to hate everything and everybody. But
oh, yeah.
Great sense of humor for this.
Was in a great mood, had a good
yes,
sense of humor.
Yes, great dresser, too.
Really sharp. Speaking of great dressers, was there anyone more razor blade sharp, I mean, outside of Henrik Lundqvist that day in Chicago, than Matt Dumba? And we'll get to him later on. He looked fantastic.
Yes, he did.
All right, here he is, John Klingberg of the Dallas Stars on 31 Thoughts, the podcast.
A lot of redirections in tight on Binnington here in the second. They don't have anything on the board to show for it. Seguin walks it back in. Fed across Klingberg. Top of the right circle. A shot. He scores! John Klingberg makes it 3-1 Stars.
Sends it back for Klingberg. Klingberg dangerous. Shoots. He scores. Klingberg scores in overtime. And for the third time this year, Dallas has beaten Minnesota in extra time.
It was roofed home by the defenseman, John Klingberg, and Dallas has the 1-0 lead, just a minute and 32 seconds into our game.
On the right wing boards, Shore leaves it at the blue line, shot, Klingberg scores!
Elliot, joined now by John Klingberg of the Dallas Stars, and here's your heavy-hitting question right off the top. We're leading with a right cross. No socks or low-cut socks? What is your
low
preference?
Low-cut socks.
Most of the guys are similar that we've talked to the past couple of days here in Chicago. Was it Max Domi, the only one who actually went no socks?
And Vasilevsky was
and Andre
no
Vasilevsky.
You can actually do no socks, but it's going to destroy the shoe. It's going to smell a lot. That's why you do a low cut sock.
And you know, we can't show pictures, but John Klingberg is rocking a really nice pair of shoes.
Thank you.
Those are nice shoes.
Thank you.
What is it with the Swedes and dressing? We had Henrik Lundqvist here yesterday, sitting right across from us, and I felt like the most inferior human being in the world.
Yeah, he does look good, and we all of us are trying to keep up with him, I guess.
He sets the standard. I want to ask you, I want to get something out of the way right away, because Elliot and I have talked about this on the podcast for a couple of years now, really, and we've asked teammates of yours about it, and they sort of laugh a little bit and acknowledge it and talk about it. You are the one defenseman, and this goes back to playing at Four Nations. You are the one defenseman in the NHL who isn't shy about floating pucks in high. Most defensemen, low, keep it low, keep it low. You don't mind sailing them up there.
Yeah, you know what? My shot is
high.
Not that hard. So if I shoot it high, they're going to be able to realize it's coming high anyways.
It's funny because,
No, I don't know. I think, yeah, I think I try to score goals. Like, I mean, I'm not shooting. Sometimes you shoot for tips, but if you see net, you're trying to score. And if you're lucky enough, so someone's going to tip the puck.
So James Richmond, who's now the head coach of the Mississauga Steelheads of the OHL, was coaching against you at the Four Nations years ago. And he's like, there's this guy from Sweden and he's floating him in high and he's scoring. We're not used to this at all. And so he's got one defenseman who's a Vegas second round pick, Nick Hague, who does the exact same thing now. And he said it's a total rip on John Klingberg because he's the one defenseman that I've seen do that. That always been part of your bag of tricks? And have how many times have your teammates pulled you aside and said, put a leash on that puppy. Let's get the shots down here.
Yeah, I think, obviously you want to shoot the puck as hard as you can, but it's tough nowadays to have time enough to shoot slap shots. So you want to have a quick a good release with your wrist shot. And I mean, nowadays everyone is so good at tipping too. So it doesn't really matter if it's going higher or lower. I'm just trying to score from there too. And we have a lot of good guys that can tip pucks as well in Dallas. So for me, I'm just trying to get the puck through and try to score a goal.
It's a good thing you added Pavelski because he could use some work in that area.
Yeah, well, adding him is going to make us very dangerous in front of the net, that's for sure.
You know, John, I want to ask you, first of all, you know, you are a really talented player. Jim Montgomery, he loves offense. Does he have any rules for you, or are you basically allowed to do what you feel you can do out there?
He lets me do my thing. The one thing that me and him are talking about and trying to work with my game is not to try to do too much all the time. And I think that comes down to with the puck through the neutral zone. Give it to the forwards and maybe join the rush instead of trying to skate it too much yourself or don't stand still waiting for a better pass. If you see something, give the puck to the forwards and then join the rush. That's going to make you play more offense. And if you turn it over there, you're going to play more defense. And your game is good offense. So he wants me to have the puck as much as I can, but also realizing that I don't have to do too much myself either.
Your division this year is going to be murder.
Always.
I see five teams that could win the Stanley Cup there. And your team, I think, Pavelski, Perry, how close you were with the eventual Stanley Cup champion last year, you've got to be thinking right now, we can win the Stanley Cup this year.
Absolutely. And I think if you look at what happened after the All-Star break last year, we really came together as a team. And like we talked about here, game seven against St. Louis, it could have gone either way. I mean, we had one puck at the goal line as well. So, of course, it sparks a little bit. But I think all the teams are saying the same thing. They added pieces. They're feeling great about their game. And that's the thing about NHL nowadays, too. Everyone can win. You saw what happened with Tampa and Columbus as well. So it's exciting times for sure. And we got to get off to a good start here and really play good in our division to get the points there as well. So it's going to be an exciting start to the season here.
Miro Heiskanen, how good can this
overrated
kid be?
Overrated.
You know what I was going to say about that?
No, he is unbelievable. What a player.
Because you guys, between yourself and him, and I think Lindell gets no credit. Like, those are three of the top defensemen in the NHL.
And you have Stephen Johns coming back.
And Stephen Johns coming back. But I think those three in particular, you guys are three of the best defensemen in the NHL. And I wonder how much you guys just must, like, internal joking about superiority.
No, I mean, we're having fun with each other for sure. And we know our different roles in the team as well. And I mean, that's what you need to be a good team as well. You need offense from the defensemen, and adding a guy like Miro, I mean, it changed our whole team. What a player he is. He's only 19, 20 years old, and he's that experienced and knows how to play the game. He's going to be a top defenseman for many years to come here.
We thought that Sweden was the defenseman factory, and now consistently the Finns are cranking out these high-end blue liners. This used to be Swedish territory here.
Yeah, it still is. They have Miro, obviously. But no, I mean, if you look at the Finnish hockey now, there's a lot of young players coming into the league, and that scares me a little bit because we have a lot of rivalry between Finland and Sweden.
Do you bet like on World Junior games or World Championship?
Yeah, we do
games?
That too. And obviously we do it against Canadians and Americans as well, but I think Swedes still look pretty good there.
Yes, but who's the worst country to lose to?
No, that's got to be Finland, I think.
Okay, like the Canada and the American.
Canada is not fun either, but Finland, it's a big rivalry between us and Finland.
And that winks at this question, which is similar. Which country, as a Swedish hockey player, which country do you want to beat the most?
It's got to be Finland and Canada.
Neck and neck?
Yeah, I say so. I mean, Finland for sure, because they're just right next to us, but... beating Canada is always fun too because it's hockey, right? Everything is hockey in Canada, and if you go there and you beat Canada, you feel pretty good about yourself.
So I can recall speaking to Colby Armstrong, who played against you in Sweden. So Colby played Vekwa, and I remember asking him after, like, who should I know about who's coming from Sweden? And you were really young, but he said, there's this Klingberg kid who's going to be fantastic. At what point in your hockey career did you realize, you know what, this is going to be more than just something fun that I do. This could set me up for life here.
Yeah, I always thought that I could have my work as a hockey player. But the one time I actually thought that I could play in the NHL was the year I stayed one more year in Sweden. But I was at the camp. I came over to the camp. I had a really good camp, played good exhibition games. And I remember James Patrick and Linda Ruff told me, we want you to stay. We think you have a good chance to play in the NHL here. But I really felt like I needed one more year back home in Sweden and get prepared to move over to the U.S. Socially and play 82 games. And I was injured the year before too, so I missed half of the year in Sweden. And I think that was a good thing for me to go back to Sweden one more year. I played international, played a lot of minutes back home in Frölunda, and just getting that experience from that camp and going back and have a really good year back home in Sweden set me up confident-wise and being prepared to come over to the U.S. and trying to crack the team. And that's what happened. So I feel pretty good now about that decision.
Tell us about Frölunda. I mean, that is, for fans that may not be familiar, I mean, that is the powerhouse. That is, you know, the legendary team. What's that program like? What's Frölunda like?
Yeah, no, well-educated. I mean, their hockey program there with the school. We have a lot of players who's been playing there, who's in the NHL, playing different teams back home in Europe as well. So just very educated coaches, educated trainers, people that helps you with the school, hockey, and just education, social life. So I have a lot of thank you to Frölunda for that, for sure. And it feels like they just keep coming players from there. We have a guy, Lucas Raymond, now, who is going to be probably a top five pick in the draft too. So it just seems to keep coming guys from there.
John, I once asked Drew Doughty this question, and he was blunt, and he admitted yes. I said, is it important to you to win the Norris Trophy? And he said, yes, I absolutely want to do it. With a Norris Trophy, you look at that and say, I want to win that.
Of course. I mean, if you can say you're the best defenseman in the world, that's a huge honor. But just being mentioned in that kind of category with those players is still unbelievable for me. But to win it one day would be awesome to look back on your career and say that you won it.
What makes a great defenseman right now? Defense is such a hard thing to look at and say, this is what makes a great defenseman, because that definition always changes. Once upon a time, oh, he's blocking shots, he's a great defenseman. Oh, he's moving the puck. He's like, in your mind, what goes into making a great defenseman in the year 2019?
I think a guy who understands the game and is controlling the game every shift he's on. And then we're coming back again to Miro Heiskanen. He's only 19, 20 years old, but that's exactly what he's doing. Every time he's on the ice, he's controlling the puck. He's controlling the gap control when he's playing defense. So I think that's what makes a good defenseman nowadays. Can play with the puck, can play without the puck, and... yeah, being able to, every shift you're out there, control the game and don't get tired.
But overrated, right?
Yeah, well, that's maybe a little bit harsh on him, but no, he's going to be unbelievable.
Thanks so much for this. Best of luck with the Stars. Look, it should be a fascinating year for Dallas. Thanks so much for this.
Thanks for having me.
That's John Klingberg of the Dallas Stars. And to me, one of the best moments of our couple of days in Chicago was him blasting off right away, overrated, when we brought up Miro Haskinen's name. Like, he was waiting for it. And I don't even think I got Haskinen's name fully off of my lips before he said overrated.
Good sense of humor. You're definitely a good guy to talk to. I like also, ever since Drew Doughty came right out at the Olympics in 2014 and said in an interview we did that I absolutely want to win the Norris Trophy.
Yeah.
I like asking those questions because you know how hockey is. No, it's a team thing, blah, 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 yeah, blah, yeah, blah, yeah, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. The brazenness of these guys, the willingness to say, yes, I want to be the best, and the understanding that you can be the best and want to be the best and still do it in a team concept. I like the fact that he came right out and said, absolutely, I want to do it.
You've talked a lot about Dallas. You talked a lot about Dallas in the offseason. Every time we're together on the podcast, generally when we talk about the Central, you go out of your way to point out how Dallas is a Stanley Cup contender this season, more so than perhaps ever. Where are you at on the Dallas Stars today?
High.
Even in a difficult division?
The interest rates are low. It's time to buy. It's good to buy money right now. I'm buying the Dallas Stars.
All right. And a really nice battery of goaltenders as well. From one defenseman to another, and he's part of that new school breed of defensemen. He is active. He is mobile. He joins the rush. His skating is outstanding. And he's going to be a Colorado Avalanche standout for a lot of years. Before we get to the interview, your thoughts on Cale Makar, who is in this year as opposed to players like Nathan MacKinnon of the Avalanche.
Well, MacKinnon had done it something like 5 years in a row, and the Avalanche said we need to give him a break. But I like that. I like the fact that, well, Landeskog does the European one, so that eliminates him. But there were a lot of people they could have picked, and they picked a guy who made his debut late last year. I like that. I like that Colorado felt confident in him as a player and a person that they could send him to do that, because this is a guy whose star is just starting to shine, and it's going to shine a long time. And did he look intimidated to you?
No.
Not in the least bit.
He walked in comfy.
Some of these guys, the first time they do this, they're a bit overwhelmed. Not on this kid. And again, I'm a big believer in that. There's some people are very different. They get on the ice, they're a lot more comfortable than they are in social situations or publicly. But this is a guy, he is completely unbothered by this stuff. He's going to be a stud.
I've maintained that there needs to be a Twitter feed specifically for when a Vancouver Canucks game goes into overtime because of who they put on the ice and how much fun it is watching those three players play together. I think there should also be a Twitter feed every time Makar and Samuel Girard are on the ice together, because it's, we all remember Leach and Zuboff playing puck on a string. You love watching Girard and Cale Makar play together. Here he is, Cale Makar, defenseman, Colorado Avalanche on 31 Thoughts, the podcast.
Colorado Avalanche are proud to select from Brooks, their Alberta Junior Hockey League, Cale Makar.
Here he goes, dropped it off. Chance for Johnson. Shot scores! Pardon me, that was Makar! And he gets his first NHL goal in the playoffs on a setup by MacKinnon. Cale Makar, welcome to the NHL.
I mean, you're playing on the second power play unit. You're on the third defensive unit with Patrick Nemeth, and you just step up into the plate just like you would do in college, and you get an opportunity to score your first National Hockey League goal. And Michael Backlund was all over him as well, and so he showed he was strong on his stick and got that shot up. And look at that celebration, says it all.
Cale Makar, our guest on 31 Thoughts, the podcast, defenseman for the Colorado Avalanche. Cale, I'm going to put out a statement. I want to see how you're going to react to it. The Colorado Avalanche will win the Central Division.
That's as far as you're going? I thought you were going to go farther than that.
Yeah.
We'll win the Stanley... No, okay. Division. When I say they'll win the division.
I mean, it's definitely possible. Obviously, I'm so new to it, and I don't want to speak for anybody else in terms of expectations, but I think with the group we got and the young guys we got, it's definitely in our sights, I guess.
It's a remarkable team, and I don't know whether there's, and you're still, of course, very young and new to it, but every high-end team has a certain momentum going into the season, coming off the offseason, based on what we just saw in the playoffs. And your team turned heads. Like, that's not exactly a secret. And I know people in my position, and certainly fans, like to get ahead of themselves, but how much do you and your teammates get ahead of yourselves and say, yeah, that's possible. And maybe not even possible, but probable.
I mean, like you said, I'm so new to it, but no, I don't think there's really much talk about getting too ahead of it. I think even just from my first experience with this team, walking into the room, you could see the character in these guys, and you can just tell that they're very about the moment, and they're always in the moment rather than looking to the future. And in terms of the mental side of the game, that's always what you want. So I think the position of the team right now is just great in terms of we're not really looking at that. Obviously, I'm sure we'll set goals, but at the end of the day, we're focused on in the now.
You know, last year, such a whirlwind for you. You have a great year in the NCAA. You go to the Frozen Four. You show up in Colorado. You get big-time playoff opportunities. Like, they didn't slip you into the shallow end. They threw you right in the deep end. And the thing that amazed me the most was, you know, against two really good teams, your coach was throwing you out there with another guy who was basically a rookie, too, in key situations. Like, it must have been a total whirlwind for you over that month period.
Yeah, it was a wild experience. I basically tell everybody it was just a complete blur. I mean, I look back on it now and I don't really know what happened, and it's just kind of blacked out and went with it. But no, it was awesome to see the just being able to come in and the trust that the coaching staff has on you already. And obviously you want to build their respect and everything, but no, just being able to kind of meet everybody and be integrated into it before the season starts was awesome.
I remember being in the production meetings and there was talk about you and Gerard playing together. And, you know, some of the guys on our show who are more experienced, they were like, there's no way they're going to play those two kids together. Like, they can't do that a lot. So when Jared Bednar said that, what kind of, did he say any rules or expectations and this is how you're going to play or don't do this? Like, how did it all work?
Really just kind of put us together and saw what happened. I mean, we were together on the power play unit. And then I don't know if we were just that before, and then it kind of migrated to being D partners, but we have very similar styles of play. We like to move very fast and get up the ice, but we got to focus on defense first. So I don't know if there was really any limitations that were set. It was kind of just go out there and play.
Was there one moment where you realized you were in the NHL, one shift, one moment, one guy taken off from the pack, maybe something MacKinnon did? Was there one moment you can recall and you said to yourself, whoa, I'm not in Kansas anymore here, Toto. This is the NHL.
Honestly, no. I mean, I think I'm thankful for that too. I think I was just so in the moment that I wasn't really focused on all those outside things. And obviously, I was starstruck. You walk into a room and you see Landeskog, MacKinnon, the Rantanens, and the Barrys. Like, you watch those guys on TV, and it's weird to me just being there in the same room as them. But I don't think there was really a moment that I was just completely taken in awe in that respect and kind of taken out of the present moment.
You've got great players in the room, but I think the guy who probably have the biggest name is the GM. Now, you're too young to remember him at his best, but I'm wondering, you know, your parents, if they would even be starstruck at Joe Sakic as your general manager.
Yeah, I know one of my cousins was a huge Sakic fan. He's a little bit older than me. I'm sure my parents were. I really haven't talked to them much about it, but obviously, like, I've seen a lot of stuff on him and stuff, and our media guy actually showed me one of his fights today, so I didn't know he had fought twice, but he apparently did. And he actually, which one was that? The Gilmore.
Did he win or lose?
He got him pretty good, actually. It was like a little more of a tussle than it was a fight, but no, I didn't expect that from Joe. But no, it was really cool meeting him for the first time, for sure.
What did he say? Like, what did he talk to you about?
When I met him at the draft, I was just completely starstruck. Like, you're meeting Joe Sakic. He's an NHL legend. But no, it was just kind of in playoffs, he was just basically happy to have me and just go out there and do my thing. And I think that's how he's gained so much trust, is that he's more of a player's guy, and he allows you to kind of do what you want from the upper, I guess, standings.
What was your offseason like? What did Cale Makar do in the summer?
This summer, lots of rehab, just kind of getting long season, kind of getting the body back to where it should be, and kind of preparing myself for hopefully an 82-game season. And it's going to be different than college. You come off of season, whatever, playing 35, 40 games, and which is not even half of NHL. So it's going to be different. And from what I've heard, it's a grind. So you just kind of have to prepare your body for that in stages, I guess.
I take it you didn't have your rookie dinner in the playoffs, right?
No, that hasn't come yet.
The way you're reacting to that, like, you kind of have some expectations of what this is going to be.
Oh, there's a complete other bank account set aside for that one.
I wondered if anyone going to share it with this year.
Well, if Byron makes the team.
Right.
Bowen Byram makes a team that he can share with him. Are there any other rookies
I don't
Colorado?
Know.
You might get really stung here.
See what you're going
to
do.
You know what, though? At least you get to play long enough that you get to pay for one. That's good.
Hopefully, yeah.
You know, I just wonder, like, the expectations are sky high this year. That's going to be a brutal division. Like, we were talking earlier with Ehlers. We were talking earlier with Klingberg. Like, there's five teams in that division right now I think could win the Stanley Cup. Every night with you guys, it's going to be a slugfest.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. So that's kind of the way that I guess I look at it. And if you're playing against teams that are so solidified every single night, or whatever the teams you play them four or five times a year, come playoff time, if you're fortunate enough to make it, you're going to be ready for that challenge.
You know, I was wondering, Kel, about the last game last year. Like, you're a young guy, you're new. Everything happened that game. Nathan got hurt. That call, which I think everybody is still kind of searching for an explanation. You guys came back on the road in a really tough building. Emotional game. I just wonder, when you guys walked into the room after game seven in San Jose, what was that scene like?
It was obviously a little bit different for me because I hadn't been with the whole team and experienced all the motions up and down through the entire year. But obviously everybody's distraught. I mean, I don't know if guys are really mad about the missed call or whatnot, but we believe that we had a shot, and that was kind of the thing. Everybody wants to believe that they can make it, but I honestly think that group of guys really did believe that that was their chance.
And did the team go away angry or disappointed? I mean, anger can carry over and it can be a great motivator, more so than disappointment. How did the team leave?
It was definitely not disappointment. I don't know if it was so much anger. It was more just, honestly, I think it was excitement for the next season to start, because, and that seems like a little bit of foreshadowing and stuff like that, but everybody seemed to handle it well, and they knew that that was a good year, but with the team that we could have coming back, it was going to be an incredible one next season.
Tell me about Gabriel Landeskog. I don't know if he was the first ever European captain in the OHL. I think maybe Joseph Vasilchuk and Sue, but it's a short list, and he may have been the first. A leader from the first time he showed up in the OHL with the Kitchener Rangers coming over from Sweden. What type of leader is he like on your team?
He's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met. He was probably the first guy to say hi to me and come and introduce himself when I got into the room. And he actually drove me to the first game against Calgary too. He picked me up from the hotel because I didn't have a ride. So he's very thorough, going off of what, like, the nicest and stuff. And one of the best puck takers I've ever seen too. Unbelievable in practice. I shot a few pucks at him. It's crazy. But it's very evident to me why he was picked as the captain at such a young age. And he leads by example. And that's the thing that you want in a leader.
You know what, Cal? I just want to see, like, here. Like, this is, each team brings one, maybe two players to this. You know, you really haven't been in the NHL for a long time. What does it mean to you that Colorado and the NHL wanted you here? And number two, what have you seen, like, what has impressed you or surprised you the most about this whole process?
Yeah, 10 games to be exact. And, yeah. Honestly, it's a cool experience getting to meet kind of all these people that are behind the scenes, whether it's with different media people or even the players. Like, I obviously don't know any of these guys. And so it's kind of neat to see everything that goes on. But this is an awesome experience, and I was happy to be a part of it.
What happened to your thumb?
First practice back in Denver, I went to open the gate and kind of shaved off a piece of my skin, so not a fun way to start.
First NHL injury.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Hey, listen, your team's a really exciting one to watch. It's a fun team to watch. Continued success and have a good season.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
He looked rested. Like, that's how he sounded. He looked rested as well. Like, he looks like a young player who's eager to get this season on. I wonder how curious he is to try to figure out, okay, how am I going to do this over 82 games?
I listen to this guy, and I don't worry about that, Jeff, as much as he's always going full out, and you're going to learn. Like, we did the one with Ehlers last week,
yeah,
where he talked about how he needs to use his speed more than just one way. I'm curious about watching Makar evolving and learning that in the playoffs last year, he looked like a cannonball, just shot all over the ice.
Yeah.
You can't be that all the time. And when he learns when to turn it off and when to turn it off, I think he's going to be even better. Like, the sky's the limit for this kid. We have Tyson Barrie coming up too, and I asked him the same question about Game 7 after San Jose. We see these oral histories all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's an oral history. Game 7, San Jose, Colorado. Pavelski shows up. McKinnon gets hurt. the crazy call that the Avalanche still aren't happy with. And just a great game and a great night. That's got an oral history written all over it.
Is that a tease for a long reads feature at sportsnet.ca by Elliot Friedman?
No, I'm not
soon?
Working on it now, but you know what? Because everybody talks about that San Jose Vegas game, right?
Yeah.
And Peter DeBoer did a brilliant sit down with Craig Custance at the coaches clinic, the Team Snap coaches clinic. So this game kind of got lost, but to me, it was almost as epic.
You know what's good news about the Colorado Avalanche? Again, they play in a tough division, and listen, they may win the entire thing. They are just that good. It looks like Connor Timmins is back in a big way as well. I know it's only preseason, but you were wondering about the injury and how he was going to look. Looks like two thumbs up everywhere for Connor Timmins. So add another piece to an embarrassment of riches that the Avs have on the back end. Matt Dumba, Minnesota. I mean, it was poised to have the great season last year. Was a Norris Trophy contender when he got injured last season, was leading all defensemen in points when he got injured. Can rehash that moment over and over again. Should he have, should he not have, etc. But what were you expecting when Matt Dumba walked into the room in Chicago? Because he came in a three-piece, no socks, great shoes, and his own video crew with him.
That's what got me, was the video crew.
Because, hang on, we should point out, like, teams will send, like, their own videographer with the player, but he brought his own people.
It reminded me a bit of P.K. Subban. Like, it's the kind of thing that, you know, P.K. was out in front of doing. Mm-hmm. I like Dumba. Like, I think he's got a real magnetic personality.
Same.
And, you know, that Minnesota team, it's just had a GM change. You know what the Wild kind of lack a bit? Is an identity in the NHL. Like, what do you think of when you think of the Minnesota Wild?
Old.
Okay, so
that's what you think of. There's a lot of older hockey players on this team, and if it's a young man's game, where are the young men?
But what do you think about them as a franchise?
I think they're one of those teams that are just always there, and they've always been in that mushy middle. Certainly with this, you know, the last few seasons, they've always been in the playoffs, go out and around, maybe win one. Like, they're in that tough spot of not being good enough to hang with the big dogs and not bottoming out to be in lotteries for first overall picks.
So I think that a lot of teams, you either really like them or you really hate them. Maple Leafs, really like them, really hate them. Mm-hmm. Rangers, really like them, really hate them. Canucks, really like them, really hate them. A lot of these teams are like that. Blackhawks, really like them, sick of watching them in every event. Bruins, really like them, really hate them. The Wild are just there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw Dumba coming in and doing that, I was thinking, you know, this is something the organization needs, like a bit of pepper to it, a bit of spice.
It was headed that way last year. He was poised for the major breakthrough season. Everything was firing on all cylinders. And we get into that. Here's Matt Dumba as part of our Star Series on 31 Thoughts, the podcast.
Pass back across, shot up, he scored! Dumba shoots and scores! That was Zuruster. Second goal of the night for Dumba. The Wild are 3-for-3 on power play, and they're blowing out Montreal 6-0. Up to Greenway once again. Greenway back to Dumba. Takes the Rister. Scores! Rister by Matt Dumba! Second of the game, 10th of the season. Wild in front 4-1. Down to a minute 24 left. Puck held in here by Coyle. Coyle off for Dumba. Dumba drives it out. He scores! Dumba scores in overtime. And the Wild beat the Ducks 3-2. It's Dumba again.
Elliot, today we're being joined by someone who travels with his own crew.
Yes.
Has his own people and has brought them aboard. Matt Dumba, defenseman for the Minnesota Wild. Explain to us the people that are over your shoulder right now and what are they doing?
Got the whole media team, got the Minnesota crew with me as well. It's awesome that they can come here and just shoot everything and just make sure you have all the content. And, you know, that's what people want to see these days.
That to me is so smart. Like, yeah. I mean, you walked in here and you have your team with you. And I say to myself, here's someone that understands it, that gets it. Yes, there's an obligation to do these types of things when you're someone like Matt Dumba, but it doesn't seem like that's enough for you. Like, your motivation for having like a crew around you to market yourself, to get yourself out there more, that's something that's always been in the back of your mind. That's something that's always been part of who Matt Dumba is.
Like, yeah, I love hockey. I love other sports as well, though. And, you know, you follow those sports and you see how guys in basketball are doing it, football are doing it. And, you know, you don't have to be this crazy, just wild personality to do that and get the coverage. And, you know, like, that's what hockey, I think, has been missing over the years. And just being able to market that and kind of get a better understanding of, you know, what we're about and why we, you know, do what we do. And, you know, how we got here, too. I think that's the insider look that I'm trying to give people and just better understanding of who I am, right? So just bringing these guys along, it's fun, man. It's easy, you know?
We were taping something earlier with Max Domi and PK Subban, and I talked to them. Like, Max is writing a book. PK, as you know, has been at the forefront of all of this. And he said, guys have to be themselves. And my question is, I think that this generation of player, Matt, is going to change the NHL forever. That they are going to pull the league into a different direction of branding and individual marketing. And PK said, guys just have to be themselves. And everybody understands that there's only so much you can move the world at a time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What do you think we're going here, and how much are you trying to move it?
I think, yeah, I'm taking steps for, you know, myself. And you know, I've watched PK. He's been a player that, you know, I grew up idolizing, and I loved what he's been doing. You know, PK's been very good to me and kind of preaching that as well. And Max, I'm good friends with him. And I think that's a step that younger guys are taking. And it is, because for our game to grow, just how kids are, you know, it's just generation, how I am, you know, on my phone. People are on Instagram, you're on social media, where they're dominating the other sports is like, it is tied to pop culture and it being cool. And also, you know, just being yourself. So like, if I can have these guys and have the camera crew around me and giving you the full access of my day, that's who I am. It's not just when I'm talking to you guys, you know, that's what people saw before. And that's all hockey players give, really, is like that generic, like, you know, I'm just, you know, pucks just humble deep, hometown deep, guy, you know, on. You know, there's people behind all the cliches, you know, mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. And you can see me for who I am, you know?
So tell me, like, I know you on TV. I know last year when you got hurt, you were leading all defensemen in scoring. I know you've got a guy who's not afraid to show his smile, is not afraid to have some energy. But who is Matt Dumba? Tell us who you are.
That's, I am the energy guy, you know? Like, my teammates know that. Like, all my friends back home, like, I'm pretty high octane kind of man, a little high strung, I guess. Always got to be doing something to feel like, you know, like I'm progressing, you know? And, you know, that's just how my summers are. I'm always moving. I'm always, you know, whether if, you know, it's working out or on the ice or climbing a mountain with the buddies or going on the lake and surfing, you know, that's me.
The first time I ever saw you play was Top Prospects game. I want to say it would have been 2012 in Kelowna. Is it 2012?
Probably. Yeah.
That's so that was the first time I ever saw, and you were snarly. You played a good game. You fought Rafael Bucerez, I think.
And then we drafted Raf, or right? He's our second rounder.
Which was, you know, interesting. And I asked this question of Sam Bennett, and I'll ask you the exact same thing. What mood do you have to be in to play? So I remember watching that first time saying, ooh, I like the way this guy's got some spice to his game.
Yeah, and I think what I kind of mentioned before is just, I played those sports when I was growing up too. You know, you played basketball and junior high, and you know, I loved football, played a lot of football, and you know, it's just how those guys like approach the game is with a different level of intensity. I know they got like 16 games, but if you could break that a little bit of that off for like 82, I don't know, like that sets you apart from other guys in the NHL maybe, and maybe that's where I got that jam from, I don't know, but I love that. That hypes me up. I love Sundays. I love watching those guys like fire each other up, get ready, psyched up for a game. And that's what I'm trying to do when I get out there too, is I'm trying to bring that energy to show my teammates too, like, yo, let's jump on this bandwagon, let's go, let's bring it.
Like, ever play angry?
I feel as if you play angry, you get tired quick, you know, like, it's work, you're like working hard, but like not smart, you know? I've done that too, you know, when you're just like, you know, you got that vendetta or whatever, and you're trying to get a guy, and you're just over skating stuff, and kind of just clutching it a little too tight, and when you're all tense like that, then it doesn't work either.
Now, we're sitting here in Chicago hours before the NFL season opener. Are you going to the game?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to the game.
Now, so here's the thing. Like, one of my favorite stories about a former NHL player was Matthias Olin, who played in Vancouver and Tampa. He would go to games with Trevor Linden and the Sedins, then go to an NFL game or an NBA game or wherever it was. And he would say, if I played tonight and I was a running back, I could gain like 50 yards. And they would say to him, you're insane.
Oh, my God. No way. No chance. Matthias Owen, respect, because he's a, I saw him lots when I was younger, that yeah. rivalry between Calgary and him. Yeah. Respect, like, he was a great defenseman, but, man, they'd chop him down like
that's
a tree.
That's what the Sedins
so
in Linden used to say to him. This guy would be,
I got some, like, just some friends, like, who are on the Vikings and stuff, and been out around those guys, like, just been in the city, you know, and, you know, you see them at signings or whatever, just, like, charity stuff. It's another level of size. Like, we don't got that in hockey, and they got 16 games to be the biggest machine possible, and they train 8 hours a day, and they eat 10 meals a day. Like, it's nothing compared to that, you know, hockey. It's crazy. You know? That'd be quick.
Now, has Bruce said no fighting this year?
Bruce hasn't said no fighting. People have been telling me no fighting. I don't know what's going to happen. I worked hard this whole offseason, and you know, I've been working out for, I got 4 months of training on guys. You know, my body's feeling, you know, the best it's ever has. So I'm not going to put any limits on myself or, you know, try to tame that. But it's in the back of your mind still, mm-hmm. but that's something I got to get over and get games played and mm-hmm. kind of get more comfortable, I guess, with that. So I don't know.
That must have been one of the most frustrating things you've ever been through. I mean, as Elliot mentioned, you were top of your game.
Yeah,
and you went
down.
Out.
Yeah,
like that was, ooh, Dumba's running the show here.
And that's, you know, that's how I was feeling. You know, that's how I was feeling going into games. Is like this, I'm gonna make stuff happen tonight. And yeah, it's hard to look back and see, like say, like, what could have been, what this, that. I did that for a bit, and just takes it to, you know, a dark place, like, and I'm over that now. And but that was a big thing for me, though, mentally, like, getting over all that, getting past that, and saying, like, you got to worry about what's in front of you, and, like, just handling that. I was in Minnesota, like, all the way up to the end of the year, right? And you kind of just cooped up in the apartment. It's snowing out, and can't go anywhere, and I got my arm in a sling, and all I want to do is play hockey. So that's tough, because it's the first time I've experienced injury of that extent.
And you're in a good place now? You're better now?
Yeah, good, man. I'm feeling really good. So
it's hard not to ask about what happened in Minnesota this summer. I know we've talked a lot of other stuff. Just your reaction to the state of the Wild and the change that was made at the GM position at a time where it almost never happens.
Yeah, to be honest, like, I have no clue what was, like, what happened there, but I know, like, the state of our team now, and we had our NFL draft the other night, and we got the boys together, and we've been on the ice a little bit. I know everyone's gelling good, and that's our goal, is like to just all come together early, include all of our new pieces, like Hartman, Zuccarello, like been on ice with those guys this last week, and they're sick. You know, Zucs is sick. That man can dish. So I'm excited for that. I'm just gonna be getting open.
Do you have a target of goals for this year?
I kind of like to keep that to myself, but
come on,
I want to tickle 30. I want to try to get up there. I want to try to break 20. I want to get into that range, you know.
Don't aim low. I like that.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to put any limits on it, you know.
Minnesota plays in that division, like the Central is insane. Like, it's Stanley Cup champion, and everyone else is a cup contender. You know everyone in that room. You know your team a lot better than Elliot and I do. How good can Minnesota be?
Yeah, that's the thing. Our market is kind of like, we're the state of hockey, but gets kind of locked up in that area, and kind of people forget about us because Central is so stacked, and I guess we had an off year last year. But those Central games push you to, like, we're excited for Central games. I think everyone in the Central gets up for those games because the rivalries have been built up. And you know, like, that's going to take you to another level when you do play a team out east. You're going to, you know, try to impose that Central game on them. And they know, you know, they haven't played that. And see, like, guys from other divisions probably hear this or whatever and be like, oh, this bad, like, oh, this Central, blah, 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 blah. Like, but guys in the Central know what it's like. And they'll tell you, and just like I'm saying right now, but we do have an experienced team, but guys who can definitely still produce, still play. So just all us coming together and young guys getting on board too.
We got to go. I just want to say before we go, Matt, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but you talked about who you are. Most impressive thing about you is your Twitter feed. Like, you, and no, I'm being serious. You always shout out some people who need help. I remember when you signed your big contract, you recognized some people along the way. I read one, I checked it the other day. You support a young man who has dwarfism. I just want to say, I think, don't ever change that. It's great that you help out people, and I'm sure having an NHL defenseman shouting them out like that, that's huge for them. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks for doing this. Mac, yeah, good luck with the Wild this year.
Yeah, thank you.
Pick up where you left off.
Yeah, well, I'll be back at
35.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
You know, you mentioned earlier, Elliot, and that's Matt Dumba, the Minnesota Wild, obviously. You mentioned earlier about how you like players like John Klingberg saying, I want to win the Norris. How about Matt Dumba giving you a number?
I want to tickle 30.
When you ask how many goals.
At my advanced age, I don't like to tickle anything, but I'm impressed that he is going to try to tickle 30. I like that. And I like the fact that he played along. Initially, he was, no, I'm not telling you, but under heavy interrogation.
Oh, like, yeah.
My captors are treating me well, interrogation.
Locked the doors, rolled up the sleeves. We're getting an answer, Mr. Dumba.
Yeah, we got it done. And I just think they're all different people, Dumba, Klingberg, Makar, but I thought they're confident personalities and they all shine through in different ways. Mm-hmm. These are, like, I knew Dumba a little bit. I didn't know Klingberg and Makar at all. Enjoyed talking to all these guys.
Well, they did. And those are some of the defensemen from the Central Division as part of our Star Series here on 31 Thoughts, the podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Three really distinct and interesting personalities taking us out. And we thank our producer, as always, Emil Delich, for making it sound good. Taking us out, a band based out of Toronto who are about to hit the road for an 8-stop Canadian tour this October. With a brand new single, here's Mono Whales with Really Wanna Let You Down.